Do you want to learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and grow your business from successful entrepreneurs, startups, and CEOs without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresham Harkness values your time and is ready to share with you precisely the information you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast. I have a very special guest on the show today. I have CJ Shah of fosterbio.com. CJ, it's awesome to have you on the show.
Hey, how there? Hello to you, the community.
How's it going, CJ? Yeah. So what I wanted to do is just read a little bit more about CJ so you can hear about all the awesome things that he's doing. And CJ is the VP of Marketing and Sales at fosterbio.com. He has 8 years of experience in life, science, marketing, and IT with reasonably deep insights in concurrent life technologies and healthcare. CJ, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
IMCU, you said? Oh, IMCO community. Hey, how are you? I can be ready. I can be ready whenever I'm needed.
Okay.
That's like I'm doing so in the business. Where I'm needed, I will be that thing. So.
Well, I appreciate you hopping on the show. Yeah. So I wanted to just kick everything off and hear a little bit more about what I call your background and what led you to your current position now.
Sure. I'd be happy to give you a quick overview. My background is in neuroscience, and I also have a business degree. This company itself is a family-run business. It's not too big. I have about 100 or so employees. And we were traditionally a manufacturer of high-tech reagents. It's known as antibodies. It's used heavily in scientific research. So we were a traditional manufacturer that just keep cranking out their products in mainland China, and in the early 2011 actually, not early 2000, and that they just kind of just shipped me over and start a U.S. branch. So you know, it's a semi from around. It's not like I started from scratch, but the business and operations side of it. So we had no, not much business here or internationally, and now we are about four times the size we were. So it's not as starting from scratch. So some of the best skills and experience I definitely don't have firsthand. But you know, as a person who is very enthusiastic about the science and the business side of it, I'm hoping that I can share some, experience that people would find useful.
Yeah, well, no, I definitely appreciate you for giving that bio and definitely breaking it down. It's interesting, you know, at whatever stage, if you're creating a business from scratch or you're doing it in an entirely different country and building it up from there, you kind of need those entrepreneurial skills. So I definitely appreciate you for being on the show. So I wanted to hear a little bit more about fosterbio. Could you take us through exactly what you guys do and how you work with the clients you have?
Sure. So you're asking just like what products and services we're providing. So the product line that we provide is generally falls under research reagent. So what does that mean is that biological scientific researchers, so scientific research in healthcare or biology or preclinical mostly, would need to do experiments. And they need tools to do experiments, tools and reagents to do the experiment, and we make the tools and reagents for them. Well, not all of them, not all of the tools, but you know, a specific subset of tools that are related to immunology. What these tools, namely antibodies and ELISA kit, what do they do is that they help you measure and visualize where proteins are in any given sample. So for example, if I have autopsy done, right? I have some tissue of myself on a piece of glass. I need to see where these proteins that may indicate diseases are and how many of there are to decide if I'm in trouble or not. And these reagents will help you help people see where those proteins of interest lie so that they can make an informed decision on whatever question they're trying to answer. So it's a very basic tool to help do a very basic thing that is needed in a lot of scenarios. Think of us as making nuts and bolts and screwdrivers for scientists.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very powerful. And you definitely say this is like a simple tool, but it sounds like it's so important because especially with scientists and anybody's doing any type of experiments, the more information and knowledge you have, probably the better you're able to get the final desired result.
I'll surely hope that I can help my client do that, or clients, customers. I don't know what the right terms are when they behave like customers, but I guess they are. I don't know if there's even an official difference between the two. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I think that they definitely go hand in hand. And I think anytime you're creating something for, you know, target market, client, customer, whatever, you know, term we kind of use, mm-hmm. it's just important to be able to kind of be of great service. So I wanted to ask you now for what I call your secret sauce, and it could be for you personally or for your business, but what do you feel kind of sets you apart and makes you unique?
Well, so there are a couple of things from different angles. And talk about the first angle is from my own managerial perspective, because the challenge I face mostly are in the making things up, scaling things up, right? So on the product side, it's already a viable product. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning of my career, and right now, I'll say half of what I face right now is you know, issues and opportunities are constantly thrown at us, right? And being a reasonably not too big of a company, the resources and talents are reasonably limited. So prioritization is always a big challenge, and everybody's trying to figure out how to do that. My secret sauce for that is I focus on what's called a moment of truth management. Mm. And so what does that mean? It means I try my best to minimize the time between realization of a issue or a opportunity to taking a effective response or action. I try to, you know, design my workflow and lifestyle around being able to minimize that time. I mean, sounds vague, but you know, let me give you some examples. For example, one type of opportunity or issue we tend to face is from customer feedback, right? So for example, if a customer asks a certain question, that means, you know, that might not have been addressed in full on the website itself. Right. For example, people ask, "Oh, how long can your thing be stored?" We're like, mm-hmm. "That's right on the website." But people ask that because, well, you can blame them being lazy, but what it really comes down to is, you know, to put it in a more prominent place. So we get a lot of small insights on marginal improvement opportunities by our interaction with the customers. How do we design a system that would minimize the reaction time to that? Is I train the customer support team with some skills that they need to update web pages, right? So that would shrink the circle of you know, insight generation to like the manager, developer, and all that, to them being able to do some small changes on the fly. Of course, you have to set parameters like don't mess with it or anything like that, and have like backup system to, mm-hmm. to kind of like prevent shit hitting the fan. But you know, mm-hmm. But that is like the embodiment. One example of embodiment of this philosophy is how do you shrink the amount of time from realization of problem to, you know, taking effective action. So from the managerial standpoint, that's one thing that I think is very actionable for many businesses. Because, you know, a lot of small businesses, especially, well, big and small, they feel that there's like an idea and or an issue, and then years later, there's still that issue. Right. And then you just don't know where things get lost. And sometimes, you know, just be creative and design a workflow that keep this objective as one of the center objectives is one point that I want to make. As far as the marketing and, you know, product strategy wise, there's another point about being customer-centered, and especially marketing, right? A lot of folks who don't do marketing as much, especially scientists, they talk about things that they are enthusiastic about, mm-hmm. a lot of times. So I've, you know, on the side, I sometimes help friends of mine that are also running companies on some strategic, you know, advisory or consulting. And, you know, like, for example, a person would have a service testing for compounds, and they would call it compound testing. But in fact, to the customer who actually use the service, it's not a compound. It's a very specific thing. So they would call it preservative testing or antimicrobial testing or, you know, like tomato extract testing or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. So to them, it's not a compound. And when you communicate with the customer, you should avoid using things that are in your mind and you care about your efficient. I've literally seen customers or in other businesses have blogs writing about, you know, their scientists go on a hike with their dog and a cute picture of the scientist and the dog. I mean, that's great for like company culture and all that, but it just in terms of keeping it about a customer, it doesn't really help. And plus that blog has like zero views from nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Always keep the customer as the centerpiece of your strategy, especially marketing strategies, is another thing that I would share. It's, you know, so much easier to get lost in the whole, you know, people starting things with a passion in a garage kind of story, that people lose sight of the fact that most businesses are very, you know, down-to-earth, and they do well because they serve the customer well. And it's not about the business owner, but about the customer. So yeah, that's another thing that's kind of easy to overlook. I mean, people all like to talk about things they're passionate about. Yeah. Sometimes try to focus on the customer-centered is the word I use. Yeah. There are a couple other things I talk about sometimes, but no. That's the two that I can think of right now.
Nice. No, I definitely appreciate those, and I definitely see how they kind of overlap as well too, as being like kind of customer focused. I think so many times, as you said, you know, as entrepreneurs, business owners, working for companies, being scientists or whatever our industry might be, we are looking mm-hmm. through our lens, but we got to remember that a lot of times mm-hmm. we're doing stuff to help out so many people, help out clients or customers or target market, as we said before. So being able to communicate with them and come and speak and show them how you can provide that solution is definitely a huge thing. So definitely appreciate those examples of secret sauces and what you guys are doing. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to ask mm-hmm. you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or a habit that you have, but what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
So that I personally am a self-taught programmer that I really like to automate things when I can. I'm even trying to come up with a course, trying to put it on YouTube and Udemy or whatever to teach some simple automation skills by using very simple software. Like I myself use just Excel and Chrome to automate a lot of tasks.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Now I wanted to ask you for what I call a CEO nugget. So that could be like a word of wisdom or piece of advice. You might have already gave us this, but something you might tell your younger business self.
Not even had to be much younger. It was just like 8 months, 9 months younger. I would tell myself to, especially when I try to start a new thing, I need to have the measurement really thought through. You know, don't do like, you know, if it just have to. Maybe this is not applicable to like certain other businesses, but at least to me, with limited resources, which was one of the we don't take any VC money. That's the problem. It's all like organic revenue based. So in that scenario, I would definitely tell myself to have clear, measurable, you know, results, measurement standard guidelines set up before turning on the faucet on a certain project. Always try to do it more on the conservative side. You know, think about what is the objective, what milestones should I meet, and if I don't meet those, just cut it loose.
Yeah.
Don't let it hang. I mean, if it doesn't. People don't change really, mostly. Once they reach adult age past 22, they physically and mentally, they don't change much. So, you know, if something is not going in the right direction, it doesn't meet certain milestones, it's better to cut a project loose than hang it out there without a plan, trying to have it work better. Yeah. I guess this would apply to anyone who's like me, trying to start, like, you know, running about 1,000 to about 1,500 projects at the same time all the time, and trying to chew up a lot, trying to grow fast. I mean, it has gotten us growing pretty fast over the past few years, and yet, you know, there are some decisions that I regret that I think it could be put out like a little bit faster.
Right.
Definitely have measurement as a part of your planning. Not just how you would do it, but how you would know that you have done it. That's the advice that I would emphasize to myself, even though I knew it back then. Knew it all along, but you know, just still gets me every time.
That makes sense. Yeah. A lot of times we fall in love with what we've created and what we've done. So definitely not by yourself in that sense. So now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. And we're hoping to have different quote unquote CEOs on the show. So CJ, what does being a CEO mean to you?
Practically, I think it's a responsibility. You know, there are a couple of folds of that. I mean, there's responsibility to the people that follow me, and there's responsibility to making stuff happen. That, you know, it's the last line of defense for all the important things to happen.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that, CJ. And I wanted to pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional you want to let our readers and listeners know. And then, of course, how best they can get a hold of you and find out about all the awesome things you guys are working on.
Oh, sure. I mean, bosterbow.com is the website. And if they call the numbers on the website, they'll probably get a hold of me.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that, CJ. What we'll do is we'll have the links and information in the show notes as well, too, so that everybody can follow up with you. But I appreciate you for all the awesome things you're doing and the time you took today. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast powered by Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Be sure to follow us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and everywhere you listen to podcasts. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star rating. Grab CEO gear at www.ceogear.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless. Thank you for listening.